So welcome back to entrepreneurship strategy session. This is the second session of the entrepreneurial strategy. So in this session, you know, we are going to practice in, you know, strategy canvas. Okay. So what is strategy canvas? Well, strategy canvas is a very useful tool, and I want to introduce this tool, and you develop practice this tool a lot. Okay. Well, before we go into the main topic about the strategy canvas, I would like you guys to watch this case study through the video. Okay, this video will explain about the businesses. Okay, let's watch it together. Okay, how about the businesses in the previous video? Okay, the video illustrates how the yellowtail spread out in America and how two companies, you know, came up with some new idea and how they differentiate yellowtail from the traditional, you know, wine market. Okay, so we will use this case, you know, as a practice in the, you know, strategy canvas later. Okay. So what is the strategy canvas? You know, strategy canvas is a central diagnostic tool from, you know, Blue Ocean Strategy. Look at this book. This book is Blue Ocean Strategy, which is the best-selling book written by a Korean professor in INSEAD. Okay, and strategy canvas is a powerful tool that helps business differentiate themselves from their competitors. And strategy canvas offers a very clear and visualized representation of company's landscape. Okay, I will show you how it works. Okay, so in order to make a strategy canvas, and we develop you know, draw the graph. Okay, first one, you know, you draw y-axis. Okay, so the y-axis represents the value. This value is kind of a something that consumers perceive. So the consumers perceived value. If consumers perceive your product or service is really good, then consumers' value is high. And if consumers perceived your product and service is not good, then consumers' value is low. So the consumers' value ranged from high to low. Okay, it's pretty simple, isn't it? And intuitive, right? And right now, you draw just axis, you know. In the axis, you just write down your attribute, okay? Attribute associated with your product. You know, attribute 1, attribute 2, attribute 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, it depends on your assessment. Okay, then later what happened, you know, you assess your competitors, okay? Your competitors in terms of choosing attribute. I don't know what attribute number one, but, you know, you assess your competitors based on this attribute number one. Okay, let's say, according to your analysis, your competitors' score for attribute number one would be just middle. Okay, just middle. What about attribute 2? Attribute 2, kind of a similar middle. And attribute 3 is kind of, you know, below than the middle. And attribute 4, wow, it's very high. So for the attribute 4, you know, consumers will perceive very high for your competitors. Then you draw the line between the dots. Then you put your competitors over there. So now it's your turn, okay? You know, you assess attribute based on your product and service. What about attribute 1? Okay, when you assess your product based on attribute 1, then, you know, the score a little bit higher than the middle. Okay, what about attribute 2? Attribute, you know, less than the average. Attribute 3, yes, you know, when I assess attribute 3 based on my product service, it could be very high, right? Could be very high. And what about attribute 4? Attribute 4 is a little bit similar or relatively low than your competitors. Then again, you draw the blue line between the dot or some other colors line, and then you put your company. Okay, this is, you know, you've done. Okay, you've done in strategic canvas. Okay, what is important thing? You know, you can easily understand what attribute to differentiate yourself from your competitors. Okay, where it is? Yes, attribute 3. Attribute 3, there is a huge and significant difference between you and your competitors. Okay? So, you know, from this strategy canvas, we intuitively understand, you know, what differentiates myself from my competitors. Okay, let's practice strategy canvas with yellowtail case in the video. Well, again, there is the same graph, you know, y-axis represent the consumer value, x-axis, there are many attributes. Okay, what kind of attribute related to the wine? Okay, let's say we can say the price, quality, or accessibility, and easy to use. And probably there are many more attributes, but we will focus on these four attributes, right? Price, quality, you know, accessibility, and you know, easy to use. Then later, you will examine the score about, you know, about your competitors. Your competitors based on the chosen attribute. In this case, your competitor is the traditional wine, right? What about the price for the traditional wine? Price is kind of expensive, right? Expensive. You know, if consumers see the expensive priced wine, then they perceive kind of low value, right? So the price itself, kind of a low and middle, right? And what about quality? Traditional wine provide high quality wine, right? So that's why the quality level kind of high. What about accessibility? You can purchase wine at anywhere. You can purchase wine Costco, you can purchase wine specialized, you know, liquor store, right? So the accessibility is kind of middle and above the middle. Easy to use. You feel easy to use when you drink traditional wine. You know, to me, it's always difficult. You know, I don't know the terminology. I don't know the taste. You know, the wine is still difficult for me. So the consumer feel, you know, low value, okay, or zero value, because it's very difficult. So you can draw the line between the dot. This is a traditional wine, right? And then right now it's a time to analyze your yellowtail case. Okay, what about yellowtail's price? Yellowtail's price is relatively cheaper than traditional wine. If we provide a cheaper product, then probably consumer feel higher value, right? So the consumer perceived higher value than traditional wine. Let's say it is kind of middle and above. What about quality? Quality, the yellowtail wine provide decent quality. So it's very similar to the traditional wine, but slightly less in my opinion. So I think the middle at best. And accessibility, you know, yellowtail wine distributed this product throughout the Costco. So, you know, if you are able to purchase wine throughout the Costco, you know, the accessibility, there's no problem. So the accessibility is kind of high, or mid, you know, close to the high, right? And what about easy to use attribute? Yes, when you drink yellowtail, it can be very easy, right? Very easy. You know, there is a picture of kangaroo, right? And also there is no jargon, there is no difficulties. Okay, so it looks like you drink beer. It's the same, right? So the easy to use. For this attribute, you know, yellowtail score very high. Then you draw the line between the dot. Then you put it is a yellowtail, right? Then you can find out the two side very significant, you know, differences between yellowtail and traditional wine. And the bigger difference is found in the easy to use area. So what differentiates the yellowtail from the traditional wine? It's easy to use, right? Okay, so from this strategy canvas, we are able to understand the different factors right away. This is the power of strategy canvas. And I recommend you guys to practice a lot in your business, in your idea. Okay? Okay, let's take another example to create another, you know, strategy canvas. This example is Cirque du Soleil. Have you heard about Cirque du Soleil? Cirque du Soleil is one of the successful circus companies. Then, in order to understand the circus company and we understand the circus industry in 1980s, what happened in circus industry at that time? You know, circus industry was in trouble. Why? Because there are a lot other, you know, entertainment available. For example, TV, movie, and sports. And these are the form of entertainment company, you know, took consumers away from the circus company. You know, traditionally, circus company has offered the animal shows as well, right? This is a typical kind of a picture of the circus company. There's a clown, there is a, you know, tent, and there is a the elephant, lion, tiger, something like that. So many circus company follow just the traditional, you know, structure, but only one guy had a different idea. His name was Guy. Okay, one guy, Guy. Okay, Guy is a street performer in Canada. And he thought that, why should we keep animal? Why? Okay, people are not interested in seeing elephant. People are not interested in seeing tiger and lion. Okay, they can see the tiger and lion, elephant in zoo, not in circus. You know, in circus, you know, we can provide better quality of the show, okay? We can provide some kind of creative show, and we can provide some kind of extraordinary, you know, experiences. You know, if we are able to provide, you know, extraordinary experience, you know, really great show, then people are willing to pay, you know, expensive prices. This is his idea, okay? This is his idea. So, let's eliminate the elephant, just tent, and just clown, just acrobatic, okay? Then we can offer not only fun and thrills, but also artistic richness. In other words, okay, so we can make this circus art, okay? Like a theater, like a movie, okay? Like a drama, something like that. So, no elephant at all, okay? We will, you know, get rid of the elephant. If we eliminate the elephant, then we can save the money because, you know, to keep the elephant, you should pay a lot of money, you know, to feed them, you know, transport them, and also, you know, care for them. Right? And medical fee, there's a medical fee, housing fee, insurance fee, and transportation fee. So if we decide to eliminate elephant and other animals, then we can save the money. Okay, with these saved money, then we upgrade our venue. Like this, okay? This venue is glamorous, right? And we can make a higher level of comfort. And then we can provide this higher level of comfort, you know, to our consumers, you know, glamorized tent. Okay, then, you know, the Cirque du Soleil can provide some kind of, you know, high level of art. Okay, look at this picture. Okay, this clown and the, you know, the circus performer wears some specialized costume. Okay, why they wear different costume? Because, you know, it's very similar to the movie. It's very similar to the drama. It's very similar to the theater. So the Cirque du Soleil tried to break down the boundaries of theater and circus. Basically, this company applied the theme and genre into the circus. So think about the movie, and we have a different genre. Okay, it's a comedy movie or a horror movie or you know, a thriller movie. Based on genre of the movie, and we expect the different, right? Same thing happened to the, you know, circus. You know, and the Cirque du Soleil emphasized on, you know, extreme creativity. Okay? So what happened? I want to show you the difference between Cirque du Soleil and the traditional circus company. Okay, let's look at the picture. Well, on the left side, you know, this is Cirque du Soleil's best-selling performance, which is The Death of Will. Well, you know, there is a, look at this, there is a person in a round barrel, and, you know, it looks like someone is chasing and someone is be chasing, right? And others in the bottom, others are watching this scene. So it feel like kind of a scene of movie, right? But on the other hand, look at the right picture. You know, the same performance done in the Dongchun Circus Company in Korea. You know, the performance are basically the same, but I don't feel any art here. Okay, I don't feel it's a movie. It is not a movie, it is not art, it is kind of, I don't know, it is kind of, you know, sports, it is kind of Olympic game. You know, I don't know why they are doing. It looks like a competition. You see the differences? You know, on the left side, same performance in the Cirque du Soleil, it looks like art because they wear the specialized costume and there could be the music and the consumers feel thrilled a lot, you know, compared to the, you know, right performance, which is exactly the same, you know, Death of Will performance. But you see the differences. Okay, I will give you another examples. Look at the picture on the left side. This is a juggling act. And you can see the three, you know, red clothes, some performers, and, you know, red clothes, you know, performers are rolling kind of, yellow beans, and the green clothes guys are, you know, approaching, you know, behind the, you know, this red clothes guy. And it's like I think it's like a, you know, fire ant in the middle. Fire ant is the red clothes guy, the fire ant. And then probably the, you know, green, you know, clothes guys are, you know, grasshopper who try to steal from something, you know, something behind. So I think, you know, what about the yellow bean? You know, yellow bean is looks like corns, right? So the red ant play with corn and grasshopper try to steal the corn from the red ant. So this performance is called as insect. You know, we feel the theme, we feel the some kind of image, okay? On the other hand, you know, you can see the exactly same performance done in Jeju Island, okay? The contents are exactly the same, performance are exactly the same, but there's no theme, okay, over there. There's no theme, and we don't know why they do the juggling act, okay? And why they wear this uniform. It looks like they are practicing in kind of a kung fu. You know, it looks like a kung fu masters. They practice their kung fu. You know, we don't know why they did that. So you see the differences between these two exactly same performance. So that's why the kind of the art differentiates Cirque du Soleil from the other traditional, you know, circus company. So what about the result? So Cirque du Soleil achieved rapid growth in even declining, so, you know, industry, which is a circus company. And then the value of this company exceeded $2 billion. Okay. And the other traditional circus company went to bankruptcy. You know, for example, Ringling Brothers, which, you know, the previously successful traditional circus company, shut it down. Well, although, you know, during, you know, COVID-19, Cirque du Soleil was in trouble, but the company overcame the difficulties these days. Okay, so now you understand the difference between Cirque du Soleil and the traditional circus company. Okay, so now Let's practice with the Cirque du Soleil case in strategy canvas. Again, the y-axis is value perceived by consumers, and x-axis are attributes related to your service. Okay, in this case, what kind of attribute could be relevant? What about price, you know, animal show, venue, and art or theme? Okay, let's say those four attributes are very important to represent your circles and your company. Okay, right now, we'd better, evaluate the score, evaluate the traditional circus company's score on price, animal show, venue, and art and theme. What about price? You know, the prices, traditional circus company provide very cheap ticket prices, so the consumers feel kind of a high value. Okay, so the middle above high, middle or high, right? What about animal show? You know, traditional circus company provide, you know, elephant show or tiger or lion show, so the consumers feel valuable. So in this case, it's middle and high. What about venue? You know, traditional circus company didn't care for the composed venue. They, you know, why? Because they need money to care for the animal. So that's why they don't have any money to upgrade their tent. So the venue is a little bit low, you know, value. And what about art and theme? You know, traditional circus company, there is no theme, there is no art, there is nothing, okay? They just show the acrobatic, okay? So there's no art and theme. Then we draw the line between the dot and put the traditional circus company. Okay, so now we are gonna assess the Cirque du Soleil based on the attribute. What about price? The ticket price of the Cirque du Soleil is higher and expensive than traditional circus companies. So the consumers perceive the low value in the prices. So the value of the price is low. What about animal show? Cirque du Soleil didn't provide any animal show, so there is no value. Venue, okay. Cirque du Soleil has great tent, so the consumer feel comfortable from this, you know, great venue, the tent. So the consumer value in the venue area, which is high. And what about art and theme? You know, there is a very different types of theme. You know, as I already mentioned that there is a theme of insect. And, you know, if you go to Vegas, there is a theme of water, theme of fire, and theme of something. You know, there are a lot of different themes. It looks like a different movie. So if you watch the Cirque du Soleil, consumers perceive the high value on art and theme, so it is very high. So we draw the line between the dot and put the Cirque du Soleil name. Then immediately we can see what area differentiates Cirque du Soleil from the traditional circus company. And you know, I can find out three areas: animal show, venue, and yes, probably art and theme. You know, the biggest area that differentiate too much would be the art and theme. Okay, this is the power of strategy canvas. Again, I suggest you guys to practice in strategy canvas many times. Okay, I want to give you another and the last example. This is the Walmart case. You know, as you know, Walmart is discount retailing businesses. Okay, but interesting thing is this concept of discount retailing business was not new, and Walmart didn't start this concept for the first time. You know, the discount store concept already popular during 1950s. Okay, look at the picture. These are all popular discount retailing stores during 1950s. So during 1960s, there are 10 largest discounters. Okay, and those 10 largest discount retailing stores focused on, you know, the large metropolitan area like New York City, Chicago, LA, something like that. So they focused on the big city because there are many people living in big city. Okay, and also they try to sell private label goods. What is private label goods? Private label goods is a store specific brand product. So for example, if you go to the Kmart and there is a Kmart specific, you know, branded product. If you go to Costco, there is a Costco specific, you know, the private label goods, such as Kirkland. Okay, Kirkland is the Costco's private label product. Anyway, the, you know, discount retailing stores, you know, focused on private label goods. And also they focused on second tier product. You know, for example, they don't sell, you know, Levi's jeans. Instead, they sell some kind of no-name jeans. Why? Why they focused on second-tier brand product? Because they want to save the cost. They want to cut the prices. Okay. So this is the only way to cut the prices. Okay. And also, discounters provide price promotion to the consumers. What about price promotion? Promotion mean, you know, kind of a certain kind of a discount within the certain period of time. For example, in this month, we offer 30% discount, something like that. It is a time specific price promotion. Okay, now you know the situation about the discount retailing industry. Okay, and most of the discount retailing companies follow this kind of rule, okay? But only one guy had a different idea. His name was Sam Walton. You know, Sam Walton is a retailing guru. He was a veteran from the World War II. You know, after World War II, he saw the kind of, you know, suburban life, okay, in America. So after World War II, American suburban life was exploding. So the Sam Walton saw this phenomenon and he tried to catch up the opportunity from the suburban life. You know, he thought that why we are located in the big city. You know, right now there are suburban area exploding, and then we can go there. Right? So let's go to rural area. And also, why we, you know, limited the time period of the price promotion? Why not provide cheap price product every day? Okay? Every day cheap, you know, prices. So which is every day low price on everything. So this is his slogan, and this could be differentiator from the other traditional, you know, discount retailing stores. So he is, you know, Sam Walton, and he had remarkable business skills on retailing, and he worked very hard. Then after World War II, he became one of the franchisee of the Ben and Franklin shop. Ben and Franklin shop is kind of $1 shop. It's very popular at the time. Then later, again, he worked very hard. Then he opened up another Ben & Franklin shop, Then at the end, he managed 16 Ben & Franklin shops. So he became the largest Ben & Franklin shops franchisee. Okay, 16 stores. You know, then later he had an idea about the discount retailing store with these two, you know, concept. Let's go to the rural area. And we can provide everyday cheap prices on everything. So he suggested his idea to the, you know, owner of a Ben & Franklin shop. So, but the owner of the Ben & Franklin shop didn't accept this offer. So that's why, you know, the Sam Walton, you know, started his business by himself alone. So he opened up the first Walmart store in a rural area. So he went to the rural area and actually opened up the first Walmart store in Arkansas. And he made the flyers by himself. And you can see the pictures on the right side. And there are many local residents who are waiting for the grand opening of the Walmart store. Okay. So again, so Sam Walton focused on the small town. You know, The benefit of the focusing on small town is that the small town only support one discounting retail stores. What do you mean by that? You know, if you go fast and if you go first in this area, then you can occupy the market very fast. Then there's no incentive for the competitor to join this market again. then you can enjoy your monopoly power in this area. Okay, second good thing is you don't have to pay marketing fee. You know, although you don't pay anything about the marketing, you know, the local resident already knew about you. Why? Because the event spread out very quickly because it's a very small area. So again, Sam Walton started his first Walmart store in Arkansas in 1962. Then over there, you know, Sam Walton tried to cut the cost with the merchant. How? You know, he purchased bulk merchandise and delivered it directly from farm or from factory directly to his store, Walmart store. Okay, so in 1980s, you know, Walmart began working directly with, you know, manufacturers. So the Walmart, you know, went to the factory directly, you know, such as the P&G. Okay, they went to the P&G factory and got the product from the P&G factory and delivered the product from the factory to the store directly. So with these efforts, with these activities, Walmart can provide everyday low price, you know, on really great branded product. Okay. Then what happened? Yes, of course, Walmart achieved incredible success. Incredible. You know, by 1976, Walmart went to IPO and Walmart became the, you know, publicly traded company with huge success. Okay, guys, so let's practice in strategy campus with Walmart store. Again, it's the same. There is a y-axis value and x-axis attribute. In this case, what kind of attribute can be related to the Walmart store? Well, you know, price, local access, and quality and variety. I think it's a great attribute. There could be something more, but, you know, we are going to focus on those four attributes. And then right now, you know, you can assess the score based on the attribute for your competitors. What about price for the traditional discount retail stores? You know, they provide the cheap prices. Okay, so the consumers perceive, you know, decent value, right? And what about local access? Again, you know, the 10 largest, you know, discount stores located in big cities. And there's no way to access the big city discount stores, you know, other than just driving 1 hour or 2 hours from the rural area. So the local access is a pretty low value, right? What about quality? You know, the largest and traditional, you know, discount stores provide some second tier brand good and the private label goods. So the quality kind of a middle or less than the middle. And what about the variety? You know, the variety is just kind of a middle or less, right? Draw the line between the dot and put the previous discount stores. And right now we can assess the score of the Walmart based on the attribute. What about the price? Prices are kind of similar to the discount store or higher. And the local access is really great, right? Really great because Walmart located in rural area. Okay. So local access is great. Quality. Yes. You know, Walmart pursued the high quality brand, right? From the factory directly. So the high quality. Variety. You know, inside Walmart store, you can find anything. So the variety. So you can draw the blue line between the dot and put the name Walmart. Okay, so now we can see the differences between Walmart and traditional and previous discount stores. So local access, there's a huge gap between them. Quality, a huge gap, and variety, huge gap. So the three big area differentiate Walmart from the previous discount stores. So that's why Walmart is very successful. So this is the power, again, this is the power of strategy canvas. Okay. You'd better practice many times.